Well, we've all seen those signs over the years on national forest land, the land of many uses. The area of the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest around the upper Briggs Creek near Grants Pass over the years has seen mining, logging, trapping, homesteading, camping, hunting, fishing, mountain biking, and ATV use. And I'm sure that list is not complete. That's quite a variety of human impact. But that's not the only impact. There have been a lot of fires around the region. And the Forest Service is starting a restoration project to repair generations of damage to the area, both natural and human. The public comment period for this project ends this Thursday. And we're going to talk about it this morning with Wild Rivers District Ranger Matt Pachorek, who joins us in the studio. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
So describe this area of the National Forest, where it is, and you know, what characteristics have made it so popular over the years.
So this area is located about 11 miles west of Grants Pass, and there's a couple ways you can get to it, but it's a popular area. It's it's got some beautiful stands of trees out there, some of the largest and tallest trees. It's, you know, a refuge in the summertime from the heat, popular for recreationalists. There's a campground out there that's received some high use, lots of mountain bike trails and hiking trails. And it's just a great spot of the National Forest to go visit.
That's the Sam Brown Campground.
Yes, that's one of them. Yeah.
And in what ways has the land been damaged? And, you know, what kinds of effects have you seen over the years that make you want to say, hey, this needs a restoration project?
So, you know, a lot of different human uses have occurred over time. Some of them, you know, have bigger effects than others. One of the biggest that we're seeing out there is all the fire exclusion that's happened, you know, over the past 100 years since it's really become popular.
So you're talking about fire suppression.
Correct. Right? Yeah, correct. Okay. So with all that fire suppression going on, it's had some ecological changes to the forest out there, such as the brush has gotten taller. Some of the tree species that would normally maybe a low intensity fire would keep at bay have grown up. So we're seeing different vegetation species come in, and that's affecting some of the native species that normally would have occurred there with all that fire that was happening.
Mm-hmm. And so this is pretty typical of a lot of public lands in the West then, with they've had a lot of fire suppression over the years, and so that same process has gone on other public lands as well.
Yes, very, very much.
Okay. So I assume that there were some activities, some human activities over the years that damaged the land more than others?
Well, you know, I think, again, typically there was, you know, there's a large mining history. You know, some of our past harvesting practices led to old clear-cut stands that have simplified the forest, creating a single age trees out there.
Mm-hmm. So a big part of your concern, though, beside the fact that, you know, there may have been human damage to the land over the years, is the prospect of fire and a catastrophic fire happening in the watershed. Can you talk us through that?
Sure. You know, like I mentioned, because of all the fire suppression that has happened out there, the forests have changed over time. And so now when we get fires out there, they tend to be a lot hotter. They tend to be bigger, and they cause more damage to the forest out there than before. So, for instance, the Upper Briggs watershed is kind of surrounded by, you know, has a pretty big fire history. Biscuit Fire of 2002 is on one edge. Onion Mountain Fire of 2014 is on the other edge. Oak Flat Fire, I believe it's 2012, is on the other edge. So it's just surrounded this watershed, and, you know, it's ready to burn out there.
So your concern is that, you know, maybe this summer or next summer that this part of the National Forest might be next.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Kind of one lightning strike away.
Yeah, when the conditions align.
So your goal is to thin the forest so that you end up being able to reintroduce lower intensity fires? Is that the plan?
That's certainly part of it. So, you know, creating the conditions where, you know, if we can do some burning in there to recreate those conditions, you know, we have important wildlife habitat that we want to protect out there. And then also return that to a spot where, it can survive a fire in there. It's not as susceptible to insect and disease as a lot of the other areas of the forest.
But you're still planning to manage the land in a way that maintains access for recreation and you keep the trails open, the campgrounds, et cetera. That's the goal,
correct.
Right?
Okay. Correct.
Okay. Yep. We're talking with Matt Pechorek. He's the Wild Rivers District Ranger, the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. And we're talking about the Upper Briggs Creek watershed near Grants Pass. Perhaps specifically that's an area that you're interested in, or maybe you're interested just in general in what's going on in the national forest. You can join the conversation this morning by calling us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Matt, we actually just got an email from Susie in the Applegate Valley, and she says, it's my understanding that the Upper Briggs Project has units that contain many rare clustered lady slipper plants in them. Logging areas where this rare and protected species grows will damage their habitat. Can you explain why you are planning logging in areas with this particular flower in them?
So, it's part of the process. I work closely with the botanist that I have on my staff, and we go out and we survey for those areas of protected plants, and then we take steps to either not treat in that area or take steps to minimize that damage. And there are also, important botanical species that do need, need to be cleaned out around them and have fire reintroduced as part of it. So it's trying to, there's many different species and some need different things. So we try to take in all that into account.
So when you talk about reintroducing fire and a restoration project like this, does this represent a really significant change to the Forest Service management philosophy over what it was, say, 10, 20 years ago?
I wouldn't say it's totally, I think we've recognized that total fire suppression has some ecological consequences. So I don't think it's a complete change. It's, some of these projects now we're looking at a bigger scale, recognize, that many times fire acts at a bigger scale. So we have to look at our projects at a bigger scale. But it's been certainly a gradual change over time, before when no fire was good till, now it's fire is good, sometimes, especially at the right time,
right,
under the right conditions.
So you talked about the scale. Give us an idea of how big this area really is.
So the Upper Briggs watershed is about 25,000 acres in size. And the project that we're talking about, the Upper Briggs project itself, is looking at about 4,000 acres of treatment out there. So not every acre out in this watershed we're looking at treated, just a portion of it.
So are you doing an inventory of going through the area and saying this, we need to spend some time over here?
Yes.
And this can be left alone?
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time already. And as part of that information out to the public, there's a map showing where some of these areas we're going to treat. Some of them were picked on, okay, if we do some treatment along these roads and maybe on these key ridges, we can have some opportunities in the event of a fire to, slow it down or have some options. And some of them, we've identified specific areas where, if we do some work, we can make this stand of trees better. Some of the areas out there, we don't need to do treatment on because it's already in the condition we like. So we've taken a look at the whole thing and picked out key areas out of it.
I see. So your public comment announcement mentions that you're trying to help the watershed adapt to the effects of climate change. And what effects are you seeing now, and what effects are you predicting in the future?
Well, I think, it's probably not just specific to this treatment, but, some of that, the growth that's been happening of all the trees with fire suppression has made the rest of the stand much more susceptible to insect and disease and stuff like that. And when you put that on top of, climatic changes, then, we're at risk of losing some of these, for instance, the pine oak stands, where they're already stressed out because of all the dug fir that have grown around them. And then you put that other stuff on top of it, and it's kind of a recipe for, them.
So when the dug firs come in, they're taking up water that would go to the pines and oaks?
Correct. And then also they tend to grow, sometimes they can grow to out-compete them with height and blocking the sun also. So.
Mm-hmm. And so without those Doug firs, those pine and oak stands would be, I mean, my understanding of the, both those species is they're much more resistant to fire damage than the Doug firs. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Correct.
So restoring those would make it less susceptible to fire.
Correct.
Okay. We're talking with Matt Pachorek. He's the Wild Rivers District Ranger. We're talking specifically about the Briggs Creek, the Upper Briggs Creek watershed near Grants Pass, which is lined up for a pretty major restoration project. And the public comment period ends on Thursday. You can lodge your public comments, although not officially, by calling in here to the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Matt, you know, many federal agencies, you know, most notably the EPA under direction from the current administration, are kind of avoiding mentioning climate change in public communications, but it doesn't seem like that's happening with the Forest Service.
Well, I mean, I can't, I'll speak specifically here. I mean, it's, you know, it's part of, you know, some of the effects we're seeing on the ground with our project. So, you know, some of the treatments that we do will make it more resilient to those climate changes.
Okay. So what are some of the specific projects that you're looking at in terms of human uses? Like, will there be additional trails? Are you going to upgrade the campground? Are there some specific facilities projects that you're looking at as part of this restoration?
So not directly related to this project, but this project's mainly looking at some of the ecological effects, such as, you know, the vegetation, changing the vegetation. But you know, well, some of the things that will likely come out of it are, you know, some of the roads will get improved because we'll be using them for activities out there. You know, we have some opportunities to use some of the receipts from the activities to improve facilities in the area. So we'll look at all of that, but not tie directly into this current project.
Okay. Got a couple other questions here that have come in by email. This is from listener named Luke, and he says, why is the Forest Service logging fire-resistant late successional forest along the Secret Way and Onion Way trails? Is that part of this project?
The Secret Way and Onion. I'm sort of familiar with that. So it all ties back to our purpose of the project is to make this whole landscape resilient. We look at it strategically from the big picture. Where can we be effective at, you know, where do we have options of, in the event of a fire, to keep it what we want to do, improve the resiliency of the remaining stand and protect some of those values. So there's, you know, we specifically did not treat a lot of areas because we wanted to protect some of those, you know, important wildlife habitat. But we also picked some areas where we could do some good in there too.
Okay. And Luke has a follow-up question here, and I'm just going to read this to you. Can the Forest Service describe the meadow restoration prescriptions that clear-cut large parts of the Horse Creek wildlife area where Luke says logging is not allowed in the forest plan?
So I guess I'll answer it a couple ways. First, okay, is the prescription in general for meadows is to – over time, because of the fire suppression, trees have shrunken the size of meadows or eliminated them completely. And you can clearly see that in some of the aerial photos that we have from the 1940s, and you compare them to now, where you see meadow systems before and you don't see them now. So the general prescription and what we do is we remove those conifers and into the where the old meadow was. As far as I believe you said the Horse Creek meadow system?
Yeah, the Horse Creek wildlife.
You know, we're not proposing large clear cuts in there, so yeah.
Okay. And he goes on with one last comment here, and then we'll move on from this. He says, the 1940 imagery used to define historic conditions actually depicts areas that were cleared for settlement and don't necessarily depict what he refers to in quotes as reference conditions.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. It's a snapshot in time, but you can clearly see meadow systems, and you can look at the current ones, and you can compare the two and see there's some obvious fire scars. You can also pick out there's obvious timber harvesting that you can pick out. So it's not perfect, but the meadow systems there in that watershed are one of the things that are lacking now that you don't see or that you saw before.
So you're currently in the public comment period here. What stakeholders have you heard from so far?
Early on in the process, we've heard from some of our in local environmental groups. Some of our local timber industry already have provided some comments on it, and we haven't tallied up the current situation yet, but we're looking forward to hearing what the public has to say about this project.
Okay, and so we have just until, I guess, the end of the day on Thursday for
correct.
The public comment period. So how can people provide public comments?
So there's a number of different ways. You could stop by the office and give us your comment. You can email us. You can fax it in. And then for those wanting more information, you can go on the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest website. And we have a more detailed description and maps of what we're proposing out there.
Okay. And one last question. Once you get the public comments in and you decide on a plan, it's approved, you go forward, how long is it going to take?
We're looking at completing that work this summer and fall, and likely looking at actually starting on the ground next year.
Okay. We've been talking with Wild Rivers District Ranger Matt Pachorek about the Upper Briggs Creek watershed in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest near Grants Pass. Public comment period on their proposed restoration project ends on Thursday, and we'll have information about this on our website. Matt, thanks for joining us here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.